Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and Buck92.com. Welcome to Central Michigan's award-winning sports destination, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, winner of Best Podcast from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is your home for everything local, everything competitive, and everything that matters in Central Michigan sports. From Friday Night Lights to hardwood battles, from high school standouts to the stories behind the teams, you're getting the best sports coverage anywhere. Now, welcome to what many call the best sports show ever for Central Michigan high school athletes. All Things Sports with your host, JW, and Buck 92.3 Sports Director, Austin Shattuck. Let's dive in.
Oh man, Jeremy, what a program we have planned today on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, sponsored by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. And Jeremy, it was a point-blank rough weekend in sports for me. I mean, if you think about it, the only team that is compelling me and propelling me to watch and enjoy sports right now is the Great Lakes Loons, and they're the high A partner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So not even really a local professional team. It's just a high A team in Midland, Michigan. They're off to a great start. First place in the Midwest League East team, east side of the bracket, on the hunt for a playoff spot, just because earlier in the show we had John Vicari on, and he kind of explained everything about how playoffs work at the high A level. And right now the Loons are in first place in their division. And Jeremy, I know you had a fun time going to the game. I got you some tickets for you and the family.
Yeah, we were there Saturday night, had a great time, great weather, just beautiful night for a baseball game. And wow, what action. And I got to say, the West Michigan Whitecaps played just like the Tigers are playing. Mm-hmm. Had a 3 or 4 run lead going into the eighth inning. And then the Loons scored like 5 in the bottom of the eighth and then just shut them down in the ninth. And Loons won.
Yeah, the West Michigan Whitecaps, Jeremy is referring to the high A partner of the Detroit Tigers. And if you're a Tigers fan, well, then you're a Whitecaps fan as well, because obviously, they work their way up through the system. You know, go to West Michigan, then you go to Erie, and then you go to Toledo, and then, of course, the major league team with the Detroit Tigers. But you're correct. They had that lead. The Great Lakes Loons on Saturday night scored 5 runs unanswered in the bottom of the eighth, and they won that game pretty much in the bottom of the eighth. I mean, they played the top of the ninth, but they struck out all 3 hitters in the top of the ninth and won that game.
I talked to a bunch of people there because, you know, everyone was wearing their Loons shirts or Loons jerseys or Tigers jerseys. And I talked to a lot of people that, you know, sitting around us that, like me, I like the Loons and I like the Whitecaps because, you know, like you said, the Whitecaps are affiliated with the Tigers. And so I like both teams. And it was a great baseball game to watch. There was one home run by the Whitecaps.
Yeah, that was a moonshot by the way.
Yeah, he hit it deep left center, and it was definitely a home run. I just got done telling my wife, Lindsay, too. I was like, don't see too many home runs at this place because it's a big park.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 375 out there to left field, 400 to center, and I think it's, 325
or 375. Yeah, it's short on the left.
Right field. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful ballpark.
Well, also to go along with that point, you don't see very many home runs at Dow Diamond because it's always windy there, especially in the early months of April, May. The wind is always blowing in from left or in from right, and it's always pushing the ball back into the field of play.
Yeah.
And you think about the level. I mean, these kids are like 19, 20 years old from the DR, the Dominican Republic or whatever, not used to playing in sub 40 degree weathers with neck gaiters on. And it's
winter
so
hats, long sleeves. Mm-hmm. I was watching a lot of them had long sleeves on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sitting there in shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm like, this weather is great.
Well, you should have seen some of them when it was 30, 40 degrees out in early April. I mean, they were decked out in neck gaiters, and it was so cold. They couldn't hit the ball. It was like pitcher's duel out there. But it was great. Saturday night was warm weather. It was a crowd of 3,500-some-odd fans.
Yeah,
it wasn't full, but... No, not a sellout by any means, but it was like our first kind of... You know, summer game fireworks after, and it was a great showing.
I love the fireworks there at Down Diamond. They have two firework cannons that just go off and they're just racking them off back and forth. Yeah. And I'm like, I want one of those.
Yeah. It's a mess to clean up. I haven't, just because I'm seasonal staff there, yeah. I don't have to clean up all the fireworks on the floor or on the diamond after at like 11:30 at night. But I know a lot of people who work there that do, and John Vicari is probably one of them. So
it looks like they have like a big vacuum that goes out there.
They have to.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
And absorbing all the paper and everything. And
because the next day on Sunday, they had a day game at 1 o'clock. So yeah. They had to get that field ready for yep. another day of baseball.
The grounds crew does a great job over there.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Ross over there, head of the grounds crew, he does a phenomenal job, like you said. He's got a team of 7 or 8 staff members, seasonal, I believe, and they do a great job of cleaning it. I think twice in between the games, in between maybe the 3rd and 7th inning, they come out and like re-rake the field and the dirt and stuff.
Drag the field and all that. Mm-hmm. What was really cool is the section where we were sitting, a kid spilled a pop, and the ushers radioed someone, and they come down and clean the pop right up.
And
so it's neat to be able to see that the place is clean and well taken care of, and that's awesome to see.
Yeah, and it's certainly a great experience. I mean, I work there. I've been to be working there throughout the whole summer, so if you ever want to come to a Loons game, feel free. Give me an email or give me a shout at austin@wczy.net. I'll come down and talk to you as the sports director. I gave Jeremy a tour of the 100.9 The Mitz studio, and it was great.
Yeah, I got to meet John and Kyle and Brad and all of them up there, so mm-hmm. it was pretty neat to go up there and see how everything runs up there, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah, and they're a great team. They're a hot team right now, and of course they're high A partner of the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers. So they put on a great product on the field, and they're going to continue to do that. So you missed out on your chance of seeing the West Michigan Whitecaps come to Dow Diamond. This was their only time, but there's many more series coming up in the heart of summer. So make sure you get those tickets at loons.com, and we'll see you down there at Dow Diamond.
But real quick before we move on, I gotta say Bryce Rainier.
Yeah, Rainer.
Rainer was the Miller Lite strikeout person.
Yep.
And so he
beer
struck
batter.
Out. Yeah, the beer batter. He struck out twice. So if you liked Miller Lite, you got him half off for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's not just Bryce Rainer. Every home game, we pick one player.
Yeah.
And we just happened to pick Bryce Rainer that day. And he struck out, like you said, a bunch of times.
Yeah, he struck out twice.
And 10 minutes. Yeah. Beer was half off.
Yeah.
So everybody, all the guys, all the girls, too,
yeah.
were like, hey, let's go to those concessions, get those beer real quick. Because not very often do you get half off beer.
No. So. No. And it's not expensive to go over there.
No.
I mean, you're paying
$9-$10 a ticket.
Yeah. And well, a little bit more than that.
Depends on where you sit.
Yeah,
I guess.
You know, lawn seats are cheap. Box seats are cheap.
Yeah.
Great place to see a ball game, though.
Yeah. And our local team here in the Isabella County area. And right now, like I said, to open the show, our only team that really matters besides a lot of our high school baseball and softball teams. But before we get into some Pistons talk, I just want to round out some. We're entering the last week of the regular season here for baseball softball playoffs in the Isabella County area. So a couple more times of doing these records per week. Mount Pleasant Baseball, they swept the Heritage Hawks last week, 4-1. Softball for Mount Pleasant had a rough week, 0-4. Sacred Heart Baseball, 3-1. Sacred Heart Softball, 5-1. Beal Baseball, 6-0. 22 wins in a row going back to early, I guess you could say late April. And we'll have Coach Ancliffe on for our second half of the show, so stay tuned for that. 3-3 for Beal Softball, 7-1 for Clare Baseball, 5-1 for Clare Softball, and then Shepherd Baseball rounds it out at 4-2, with Shepherd Softball going 5-3. So Isabella County teams, you know, hammering it down, hammering these wins down the stretch, like I said, last week of the regular season, starting this week, and then we got playoffs coming up.
Yeah,
so
not too long, and district action will be taking place. And
where are we going to be this next Friday, Jeremy?
I think we're going to Beal City.
Yes, we will be there. Beal City softball will cover all three games. Beal City's playing
Vestaburg, and then Sacred Heart plays Montebello, and then the winners will play at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, so we'll be there down at Beal City.
2, 4, and 6.
Mm-hmm. Tune in for that. We'll have that on the radio, our first district coverage game on Friday the 29th. Not this Friday, but the Friday after Memorial Day, and should be a great game. Games, I should say. Sacred Heart softball, Coach Wheaton, they're doing great. Coach Antivlik for Beal City softball is doing great. And then, of course, I could see Beale City and Sacred Heart meeting in that championship to decide a district round.
Yeah.
At 6 o'clock.
And that's what's a bummer. They always meet in districts.
Yeah. We've talked about that before, but they have to do it. And
yep.
One team has to win, one team has to lose. So we'll see who can come out victorious. And the team that came out victorious in the NBA playoffs game 7 last night, not the team we wanted. The Cleveland Cavaliers take game 7 down in LCA, and they are moving on to play the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden.
And it wasn't even close.
No.
They won by 31.
It was bad. They took Cade Cunningham out. J.B. Bickerstaff, being they, took Cade Cunningham out with like 5.5 minutes to go in the fourth to a standing ovation that the crowd was, whatever crowd was there at the time. I know a lot of people were exiting their seats, so it was just rough to see. We mentioned off air, Jeremy, it sounded like the Pistons didn't even want to play.
Yeah, and like I said earlier off the air, if they didn't want to play game 7, they shouldn't have won game 6.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, it happens. We've seen it a lot with the one seeds. The Lions, it happened to the Lions 2 years ago, being the one seed, they lost. Now the Pistons are one seed, they lost. So Michigan fans are pretty used to one seeds losing.
Well, with that point, I when you said Michigan, I thought you were going to brag about Michigan basketball. But hey, that's the only team we got going. I know in the past Michigan basketball was going well, but Great Lakes Loons, they're still the team to beat. Cleveland Cavaliers, they move on to the next round, and they are starting their series tomorrow night, Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. What's sad about the Pistons losing is they've lost 2 straight series in a row, dating back to last year, to end their season. One to the Knicks, and then now this year to the Cavs. So it's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when we were looking at, you know, contracts and stuff off the air, mm-hmm. it's going to be interesting to see, you know, next year how well they can do, because like you said, you know, all these players that got hurt last year, Halliburton and all of them, they'll be back. So the Pacers are going to be good, you know. So all these teams that were down this year with injuries, they're going to be back next year with good teams.
Yeah, Jeremy, this was certainly the year for the Pistons to take control of the East. I don't know if they could have won the whole thing.
Yeah.
With the Spurs and Thunder still left, who start tonight here in about an hour and a half or so.
That's going to be a good game.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I want the Spurs to win that series over the Thunder, but
yeah.
We'll
see. Never know. You just never know who's going to win.
Mm-hmm. But going back to the Pistons, of course, there was 4 games since we last talked. I mean, Monday night, game 4, Wednesday night, game 5, Friday, game 6, and then, of course, last night, game 7. We don't have to talk about every single game. One game we can talk about, though, is the Pistons won game 6 at Friday night. They snapped the Cavs' home game winning streak, 115-94. Cunningham had 21 points. Paul Reed off the bench with 17. And then Durin kind of showed up in game 6, something we're not used to saying, 15 and 11.
No, he's been pretty absent this whole postseason.
Yeah, and he's playing his way out of really that contract extension because, like you just mentioned a couple minutes ago, the Pistons now in the offseason are going to have to do some work to restructure some players' contracts, maybe to bring in a star player.
They definitely need another scorer.
Definitely. That's what they were lacking in that game. In the whole playoffs. I mean, they tried. They put
Cade can't do it all.
No. And they put all their eggs in one basket with Jalen Duren being 22 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he only averaged maybe less than 10 points a game in the playoffs.
Yeah. In regular season, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Postseason, he just forgot. He must have stayed on the beach. You mm-hmm. know, that week they had off before they played their first series, you know, the playoffs, they had a whole week off. So he must have just decided to stay on the beach and not come play basketball.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's probably where the Pistons are going to be going now after they clean out their lockers for Memorial Day weekend. They'll be booking it to Cancun or wherever they go. But the free throw disparity in Game 7 in this whole series, I mean, I believe there was a stat, 290-some free throws for the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Attempts, not makes, attempts.
Yeah.
And then Pistons only had like not even 200. So it's just the free throw disparity was what got me off the game a little bit.
Well, I seen on social media too that ABC posted Cavs versus Knicks. And this was still when game 6 was still going on.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, what kind of fix is in on the NBA here? You know, and they talk about how they're, you know, don't want to, but how do you put a commercial out that the Cavs are going to play the Knicks in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, and Game 6 is still going on, and the Pistons were actually winning that game. So I don't know. The intern
working for ABC forgot to unprogram that. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, it's I don't know. It's sports is sports.
Yeah,
so.
It's going to be a long summer because now we're only down to one team to talk about for the next couple of Mondays with the Detroit Tigers. It's certainly going to be a long summer because they are struggling right now. We're not going to get into the Tigers right yet. A couple weeks later, we'll talk about the Tigers. But Pistons are done. They have maybe, you know, obviously after the NBA draft and the NFL, well, the NFL draft already happened. NBA draft coming up in June. We'll recap that with the NBA. Obviously talk about the NBA Finals once that happens here in the beginning of June. So the NBA still has a lot to happen with the Eastern and Western Conference Finals and, of course, the NBA Finals. But our team is out of it.
I'd like to see the Knicks and Spurs. That'd be a good final, I think.
It would be. You know, Knicks, Spurs have seemed like always have been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
With Manu Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard, Tony Romo. I forget that. I'm drawing a blank on the guy.
Tony Parker. Yep.
All those players for the Spurs back then, and of course Coach Popovich too. They were legendary. And then the Knicks are just America's team on the NBA side, playing in Madison Square Garden. I heard if the Knicks make the NBA Finals, a ticket is going to be like $9,000 a person or something like that. It could
That's
be less.
Crazy.
I don't know, but it's going to be expensive.
Yeah. Madison Square Garden, I heard, is a pretty cool place.
Oh, it's historic. I've never been there, but it's pretty much media celebrity stadium, pretty much, because the front 10 rows are just a bunch of celebrities.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can barely get in as a normal fan. But anyways, we digress. The Knicks versus the Cavs start tomorrow night. And then, of course, tonight, Thunder versus Spurs for a trip to go punch their ticket to the NBA Finals. Just to wrap up everything with the NBA, Donovan Mitchell, first finals appearance ever. And he's been in the league for probably 7 or 8 years. So good for him. And then, of course, James Harden, everybody's favorite person, sarcastically said.
Yeah.
His first finals appearance since 2018 with the Houston Rockets. So
I was thinking, I almost thought it was because, wasn't he on Oklahoma City too?
Oh, yeah. He was with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant earlier on.
Yep.
And then he transferred to the Houston Rockets.
Okay.
And then now the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been all over, but first since 2018, and that's actually the year he won the MVP. So good for him to get back there. I'm not a big fan of James Harden, just the way he played in that 7-game series. Not good basketball to watch.
No, he I don't know. I'm with you on that. I'm not a big fan of his at all. Flopping a lot.
Yeah. It seemed like a lot of the players on the Cavs did that. Donovan Mitchell was nice with it. I liked the way his ball movement. He was fun to watch, but, you know, that there again, you know, we talked earlier about the Pistons needing those two scores.
Yep.
That Cavs have the two scores with Mitchell and Harden.
Yeah,
so they're set. But someone who's also set, Coach Ann Cliff, Beale City Aggies, 22-game win streak as we speak. Of course, entering the last week of the regular season, will remain to be seen if they keep that streak on the line and keep it safe. But he's coming up next, Coach Ann Cliff for Beale City. The Aggies baseball coach, historic baseball coach, coming up next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues, right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
Believe it or not, spring is upon us. With BRB Seed Services, you can plant early and with confidence knowing that your seed is backed by the best standard seed treatment in the industry and 100% free replant guarantee. Each hybrid in Beck's high-yielding lineup is selected for early seedling vigor, making it the perfect option for that first planted field this spring. If you have any in-season corn or soybean needs, we have a great supply of products still available. We sell Beck's hybrids because that's all we grow. They are American grown and American owned. Please contact BRB Seed Services at 989-621-1215. That's BRB Seed Services, 989-621-1215. God bless. Stay safe and make good choices, starting with us, BRB Seed Services in Shepherd, Michigan.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings and what it means to be a Chippewa. Love. To live our lives with love is to understand our capacity to realize, empathize, and nurture the needs of others. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
You're back with the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, Central Michigan's award-winning sports coverage, with sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's get back to it.
Austin Shattuck and Jeremy Wood back with you for part two of the Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com, where country legends live. It's time for part two of the show. So this week's special guest is none other than Coach Ancliffe, the head coach for the Beale City Aggies baseball team. Coach Ancliffe, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, thank you.
We're primed for another deep run in the tournament districts coming up for you and your team, coming up for Beale City at the end of May. I know you guys are, well, when we're airing or recording this, you guys are on a 12-game win streak. I'm sure maybe you could keep that going to when we air this here at the last week of May or so. The slow start kind of nipped you in the bud a little bit, but 12-game win streak, like I said, in the middle part of the season. But before we dive really into this season, I want to get a little background on yourself. I know a lot of people already know you in the Beale City area, but not maybe in the Isabella County area. In the last three seasons, you are 90-23, excluding the entrance to the 2026 campaign, with two trips down to East Lansing in the 23-24 seasons. How have you personally been so successful as a coach?
Oh, it's the kids. You know, we have a system. They buy into the system. They know that we're going to do fun things, but we're also going to be serious and hoping to get ourselves ready for the postseason. But yeah, it's all the kids. We put a game plan together, my staff and I, and the kids show up every day and compete and work hard and do great things. So that's how we get where we get.
Yeah, and you mentioned game plans that you come in on a day-to-day basis for each game. I assume that probably changes from doubleheader to doubleheader or even game day to game day. Kind of, can you take us through the process of how you construct your lineup or your pitching staff?
And we have our game plan of, you know, we're going to come in and we're going to play small ball. Like last night, we came out and we worked on some stuff against Central Montcalm. I think we probably put down 5 to 7 bunts between bunt for hits, sacrifices, really concentrating on quality at bats this year. I mean, the quality at bat for us is, you know, hitting the ball to the right side to move a runner from second to third. You know, as far as our pitching staff, you know, we have, you know, our 1 and 2, and then, but we try to develop everybody. You know, last weekend we were able to go with Kyler Smith and Colin Martin over in the Meridian tournament, and they both threw really well. Will McClinic came in and shut the door in the finals, and we really stressed the small ball game. We also stress, you know, we want to put pressure on teams. And, you know, if they throw us out, they win. You know, we're hoping to singles into doubles, doubles into triples, and work our game the best we can.
You mentioned earlier with Kyler Smith. I know he's been with the team for a very long time. He's a multi-sport athlete with basketball as well, with Coach Gatrell. But on the baseball side of things, what has his development been like throughout his high school baseball career?
Kyler's an athlete. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, but he's an exceptional baseball player. You know, he attacks. He plays the game the right way. You know, does the little things that we need him to do for himself to be successful and us. Like I said, he's very coachable. Comes in every day, works hard. You know, he's one of the most talented shortstops I've ever coached, and I've coached some really good players. But his development from his freshman year, I mean, he was with us all the way through. You know, he played second base, and then his brother graduated and went to Central, and we slid him to short, and we haven't missed a beat.
Perfect segue into my next question. I was going to ask about his brother, Caden Smith. I mean, you got to coach him personally. He's at CMU now, dealing with a little bit of an injury this year. Probably missed most of the season, except maybe a first few games here down in Mount Pleasant. But what was it like kind of coaching Caden Smith, and what is it like kind of seeing him succeed at the highest level here for the Chippewas?
It was definitely fun to watch. He was given the God-given ability to throw the ball hard, and you know, he was a great leader. I mean, he's not a vocal leader. He was a silent leader and led by example. The biggest joy, there's two of them for me, is, you know, seeing these kids succeed and play at the next level. And Caden is at the top of, you know, playing D1 at Central Michigan. And the other part is, you know, when you get the phone calls or texts about something good that's happened, and or us just getting our 400th win as a program for myself at Beale City, is, you know, you get those texts of congratulations, but you know, it's not about me, it's about them. And, you know, Caden's one of those kids that was a team first guy, and, you know, he cared more about the team than himself and his accolades. But I'm glad that he's having the success he is at Central.
And he's doing a great job, especially, well, this season, I mean, small sample size, but last year he did a great job. I remember broadcasting a lot of his games for Central Michigan last year. He was doing a great job, and I'm sure he'll come back after that injury this year and ready for next year as well. And, you know, just a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned your 400th career win. Obviously, you're still stacking the wins up. What were your emotions like when you found out you got that 400th career win just a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, it took us a minute, but, you know, we were sitting on 399 to start the season, and, you know, it was, our schedule is probably one of the toughest schedules I've ever put together. You know, we opened with Bay City Western and then Swan Valley and Standish Sterling, and those are, you know, three quality opponents. So just a little preview before that is my mom passed away on Friday night, and we went over and played Saturday and over in Cass City, and it was pretty emotional for me because my mom and I talked about that a lot, you know, getting that 400th win and what an accomplishment it is for the program and the players. So lots of emotions that day, but I'm just happy for the kids because it, I mean, yep, my name's on it, but it's all about the kids.
It certainly is, especially at this high school level. And I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your mother. So our condolences here from Buck 92. But you mentioned you do a lot of the scheduling for your seasons. Like you said, you started out with Bay City Western, Swan Valley, Standish Sterling. What kind of goes into crafting the, I guess, the season schedule? Does that get put together by you and the MHSAA and the other coaches, or how does that happen?
It's pretty much my staff and our AD, Chad Fletcher. I mean, he did an amazing job of reaching out. You know, we're fortunate enough in baseball to where I feel like our program's established to where we get the Bay City Westerns that Timmy Mack is would play us all the time. And I love that because we want to see great competition. And we're trying to get ourselves prepared for the postseason. Mm-hmm. We know that we're going to have to face Sacred Heart, and they have two quality pitchers. So we're just trying to get ourselves set to play the game the right way. And those teams make us play the game the right way because Timmy Mack does a great job with bunting, and Swan Valley does a great job with bunting. Standish Sterling, I mean, quality opponents help us. You know, it may not look great when we don't do as well as what we'd like in some of those games, but it makes us better. And that's the ultimate goal, is to make us a better team. And we learn from our mistakes and move on.
Yeah, and you said it great because earlier you just said, I mean, it prepares you for the postseason. You know you're going to have Sacred Heart in the district round coming up to end the month of May in that district round. And like you said, they're a tough opponent. We interviewed Coach Hartman just a couple weeks ago, and he was high praise for his team, high praise for your team as well. So those two, I mean, that matchup coming up in the postseason is going to be a must-listen and a must-watch as well. So I assume you're going to be preparing your boys for a great round coming up against Sacred Heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, we see each other in districts. That, to me, is a game that we would love to play in East Lansing. But, you know, but we also know that Portland St. Pat's, they're really good. And there's some other teams. Fulton's playing really good baseball. And, you know, whoever comes out of our district is going to have a tough regional, tough quarterfinal. And we're excited. We're excited to play Sacred Heart because that's obviously our rival. But, yeah, we're just excited to get to that point and see how we do.
Yeah, and as you should be. But for this year's team, I know we're already like halfway through it and playoffs right around the corner, but when you first started to now, when we had that first matchup against Bay City Western, or maybe even the offseason and tryouts, it's a senior-led, upperclassman-led team. What kind of went into your decision of how you drafted your roster with all your pitchers, your positional players, and your hitters? Like, what kind of went into your decision there?
We started out, we had, you know, 13 players, and you know, we've kind of mixed in some of our younger guys. You know, when we just show up and work hard. I mean, these kids show up every day and they come in and they work hard, and they know if we work hard and have a tough practice and we get through what we need to get through, and we can be done in an hour. So that's the biggest thing, is when we get rolling, you know, looking at some of our guys that, you know, you're looking to add depth in multiple positions because if you get some injuries and stuff like that. As far as our squad, we were set day one, but then it's now trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I think we're getting closer. You know, with our 12-game winning streak, it's been good to see some of our young guys step up, play the right way, and they're doing a good job of that. And so are our seniors. Our seniors are doing a great job leading us, and that's what we need, is that senior leadership to kind of take over. You know, they know what to expect. They know how the system works, and they're doing a great job of it.
Hang tight. We'll be right back on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
We'll be right back! The best sports show in Central Michigan. The Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3, where country legends live. And streaming at buck92.com continues next in just minutes.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings in what it means to be a Chippewa. Wisdom. To live with wisdom is to acquire and use experiences as guides for making equitable and mature decisions. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
It's now easier to save at Rick's Food Center. They're now introducing digital coupons. Shane, tell us how easy it really is.
Signing up for the program is fast, simple, and secure. Just simply enter your phone number at the kiosk and are registered.
And how soon can I save?
You can start saving immediately using manufacturer's digital coupons.
How do the digital coupons work at Rick's Food Center?
You earn points for every dollar you spend. Those points can be redeemed later for cash off your purchases. You're going to get exclusive offers that are only offered here at Rick's Food Center. You'll even get a birthday reward. We also have digital coupons. Buy 10 Hudsonville ice creams, get one free.
I'm at 6.
Every time you stop in, you only need a phone number to access the deals. You're going to find out you'll save much more than you ever imagined. We invite you to join our new Rick's Rewards program at Rick's Food Center. Rick's is a Michigan-based company. Come celebrate our 50th anniversary all year long at Rick's Food Center. Where were you when Elvis died? We were on the corner of Mission and High Street. As always, we feature convenient parking, friendly staff. It's the place where your friends shop.
Welcome to Rick's.
Rick's Food Center, where your friends shop. Rock Ithaca and Mount Pleasant.
Well, welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, streaming on Buck 92.3 and buck92.com. Hosted by sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's dive back into Central Michigan sports.
Welcome back into the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. Yeah, they certainly are. Like you mentioned, 12-game winning streak earlier on in the season, and most of those wins, if not all of them, have come in Highland Conference play, and I know that you know the Highland Conference is a top-level conference for the baseball level. Is there any future matchups you kind of have circled on your calendar? I know you mentioned Sacred Heart in the district round, but other than Sacred Heart, do you have any other matchups circled on this calendar?
Yeah, we go up this weekend. We're up in Glen Lake for a tournament. We get opportunity to play Traverse City St. Francis. So we're excited for that. And then we got our home tournament. We have Big Rapids and Indian River in Glen Lakes, which is ranked in Division Four as well. Our schedule, I think we play 3 Division Four schools. So it's been good to be able to, play up, play these bigger schools that give us the opportunity to show the little things that we can do. You know, we have McBain on our schedule still. They're really an up-and-coming younger team. So we're excited for that doubleheader. And Manton is another team in the Highland Conference that's got some young kids that have been doing some really good things. So we're excited to see how we finish the season, and hopefully we can keep rolling.
Yeah, and something you didn't mention too, it looks like you got Claire at CMU coming up on the May 22nd, like the last week of the regular season. Is that correct, or is that?
Yeah, we play them on the Memorial weekend Friday night. We've been doing this since year 3. We'd had a ton of rain, and I had reached out to Central and to see about playing there, and it's worked out to where, every Friday, the last Friday of the season, we're hoping to keep this thing going, but we play Claire at CMU, and it's been fun. It's a fun experience for the kids, fun experience for the coaches. So, yeah, that's one thing we look forward to as well, is that Friday night at CMU.
It certainly is, especially when you get high school boys playing at like a college stadium. I mean, Tennyson Stadium is so iconic. I mean, CMU would be probably done by May 22nd when you're playing there. So you got the whole field to yourself, and that's got to make the boys feel good for both Claire and your guys.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Different atmosphere playing on the turf. You know, I was obviously played at Central, so it means a little bit probably more to me because it's just being like at home. I mean, we were at the old Tennyson Stadium, but it's just a cool experience, and they kind of let us just go in and do our thing, and it's just baseball. Once you get rolling, it's baseball, and a little bit different because it is on turf. It's definitely a different experience, but a lot of fun.
Now, you've been inducted into 2 Hall of Fame departments as a coach, being in the MHSBCA and the Mecosta County Hall of Fame. Personally to you, what do these recognitions mean?
You know, I'll go back to it again. It's testament to the kids in the program. I mean, for me, it's a great honor. It's something that I didn't expect. but it's something that, you know, it shows the kids, you know, I don't get awards if it's not for the kids and their belief in me and the belief in the system. So it's been a great honor, and I don't take those things lightly. And I really, you know, stress to the kids that, you know, when I get a text or a call from those guys, that it's all about them and the program that they've, you know, the older guys, they're now dads and, you know, stuff like that. Or they built this. I get to be the lucky one to be the head of it. And you know, Denny Bechtel and I have been together every year coaching together. He's been my right-hand man. And so having him be there and myself be there, it's been a lot of fun. And I'm just excited that, you know, to me, it's the program recognition. It's the Beale City community recognition, but mostly my kids' recognition that they've gotten us into the Hall of Fame.
Coach Ancliffe, I got one question for you. Do you have a JV program?
Yes.
How does the JV program help with your varsity program?
Oh, immensely. This year I have Zach Seeley. He's taken over the JV program and, you know, kind of the development. We have our first practice and we just put everyone on the bump and say, okay, who can we make a pitcher? Who can be a pitcher for us? And at the JV level, it's you know, just about playing games and continue to develop. Zach's done a great job of developing my system as far as what I like to do with small ball and extra bases and stuff like that. So, and he's developing, you know, him and Brian Gould are doing a great job of developing our pitching staff. You know, as well as I do, you can get 3 rainouts and you're playing 6 games in a week and Tuesday and Wednesday. Like we played last night against Central Malcolm. We play Roscommon tonight. And then we get a few days off before we go up to Glen Lake. So just keep developing. And that's the biggest thing for our guys. And we've been fortunate enough to play some of the SBL schools. You know, we played Dow and Midland and Mount Pleasant. That's been good too. I mean, playing good competition at the JV level is huge for our guys, just so they see it and they can figure out what they need to work on as well.
Well, and that's the playing time for the younger kids, you know, because if you don't have a JV team and all these younger kids are having to sit the bench and you can throw them in at I want to say garbage time, you know, if you got a big lead or whatever. But to get them an actual game time at the JV level is huge for their development into the varsity level as well. So congratulations. Absolutely. On your 400th win. It's been an honor to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much, Coach Ancliffe. Good luck with the rest of your season, and we're looking forward to Sacred Heart Beale City District's coming up to end the month of May. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, your award-winning home for Central Michigan sports coverage. Thanks for joining JW and Sports Director Austin Shattuck as we break down the games, the players, and the stories that make local sports special.
Miss part of the show? No problem. You can listen to this show and past shows at MyMichiganPodcast.com. Just click on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Join us every Monday evening at 7 right here on Buck 92.3, where country legends live. And streaming worldwide at buck92.com for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.